Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the next part of our series, Worship in the Wilderness. This morning, we're going to think about what it means to be on a sorrowful journey. So let's just take a moment as we begin to pray together. Holy Spirit, as we wrestle with this idea of sorrow, sadness, despair, Lord, I pray that you would come and be with us in our homes, that by your Spirit, you would be our comfort, our guide, and our teacher. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't think I will ever forget the sound. It was about 6 years ago, and I was in my first year of training for ordination, and I opted to go to Uganda for a month for a placement. And while I was there during that month, an event that I was to speak at was cancelled because there had been a death in the community. And so instead of that event, I was taken along to the funeral. And still to this day, I can picture that scene in my mind and I can hear the sound of Ugandan women wailing. And I mean wailing. As they processed their grief and their sorrow. And I think that memory is etched in my mind because never until that point and never since that day have I seen or heard people process their grief in such a visceral way, in such a gut-wrenching way. Really affected me that day. In comparison to that experience and the sound that I heard, our funerals are orderly. A part of our culture is that we expect the ritual of grief to be neat and ordered and tidy, and that the process of sorrow and grieving is a private one. And if we're honest, we are uncomfortable at times with sorrow, with expressing sorrow in public, with expressing sorrow in church. This morning we are on a sorrowful journey in the wilderness. Many of us are already identifying with what it means to be in the wilderness, and we're already feeling that we're in a wilderness season. And I have no doubt that this morning many of you will be able to identify with the feeling of being in a dark night of the soul. That you will identify with feeling sorrow and sadness. And perhaps if that's you, you're wondering, is it okay if I'm a Christian to feel sorrow and sadness? Have I lost my faith if I feel those things? If I feel grief or sorrow, is my faith ruined? As that African experience whirls in my mind this week, I have been asking myself which culture, that Ugandan culture or our British culture, knows how to best deal with sorrow, which is the most biblical. But asking myself, what does the Bible say about sorrow and about how we should deal with it? And I want us to explore that this morning using the two passages that David and Natalie read for us this morning, as well as a couple of others. And we'll also look at a couple of Christian authors. I'll share from some books that I have read or are reading at the moment and how they've helped me in a process of dealing with some of those thoughts and feelings and emotions. But let's ask the question first. What does the Bible say about sorrow? As Christians, our go-to is always Jesus, isn't it? That's who we look to for our code of behaviour. But surely God, as he walked the earth as a human in Jesus, did not get overwhelmed with circumstances or emotions. In the hours leading up to his crucifixion, these are the words that Jesus said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Jesus himself said that. The Psalms are also full of raw, honest complaint, sorrow, grief, and protest. Bible characters from Hagar to David, from Jesus to Paul, all pray heartfelt prayers of distress. And if that's true, then we as Christians need to break down the notion that there is something wrong with us, that there is something wrong with our faith when we experience sorrow or sadness or despair of any kind. We need to dispel that notion. We need to grasp the truth that if the people of God, including the Son of God, have experienced sorrow while on earth, then it surely must be part of our journey as Christians. And actually, it can be a helpful experience for us as Christians. The scripture set out for us a word that describes the process of sorrow and describes how we should cope with it. And the word is lament. Lament. Many of you will be familiar with that word and what it means. Biblical lament is not just a complaining session or a moan to God that goes nowhere. It's not a fixed mindset, and it's certainly not faithless. Lament is the people of God crying out in exasperation, in desperation, and in despair, expecting that God will come through in the end. Yes, it's raw and it's honest, but it moves forward. Lament always moves God's people from distress to praise, from disorientation to reorientation. Lament is not someone hopelessly crying or wailing into an abyss. Lament is first and foremost anchored in the intimate relationship and honest conversation between a Christian and God. In his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, the author Pete Scazzaro says this: turning toward our pain is counterintuitive. But in fact, the heart of Christianity is that the way to life is through death, and the pathway to resurrection is through crucifixion. And so if that's true, then we must learn to walk the path of sorrow. We must learn to lament when we are in pain as Christians. So how should we process it? How should we process our sorrow, and how do we lament? This morning, I want to look at three ways that we might do that. The first is three questions, asking questions. When I have stood alongside friends, a family, in a time of grief and sorrow, I've come to realise that there's a belief among Christians sometimes that we cannot ask God questions, that we cannot ask him anything difficult, because somehow he can't handle it, or he might get angry with us. And a phrase that I sometimes use in that situation is to say that God has broad shoulders. He won't throw in the towel if we ask him hard questions about our suffering. The scriptures are full of God's people asking big and difficult questions of God. Pete Scazzaro, that same author, writes about Job, and he highlights him as one main character who does that, who asks God questions. This is what Pete says in his book. He says, he, that's Job, shouted at God. He prayed wild prayers. He told God exactly how he was feeling. For 35 chapters, we read how he struggled with God. He doubted, he wept, he wondered where God was and why all this had happened to him. He did not avoid the horror of his predicament, but he confronted it directly. In the story that Natalie read for us, that famous story that no doubt you will know, of Jesus raising Lazarus, in response to the incredible pain and sorrow that she felt at losing her brother, Martha is proactive. She goes out looking for Jesus. She knows he's coming to town, and she goes out looking for him. And she goes to him with questions. And when she finds him, she asks, Lord, why weren't you here? Why didn't you heal him? And why aren't you doing something now? And Jesus' response to her is interesting. He just meets her there in that moment when she asks questions and he listens. He doesn't say, "Martha, who do you think you're talking to? How dare you question me?" He doesn't say that. He simply listens to her questions. He engages her in a conversation of hope, actually. He gives her answers that she wasn't expecting, but he engages her in the questions that she has. He lets her ask the questions. And so surely there's a lesson for us in that, in how Jesus deals with questions. For some of us, there will be no easy answers. For some of us, there will be no answers to our questions this side of eternity. But it's still okay to ask. It's still okay to cry out to God and ask the questions that are on your heart. It's okay to ask him hard questions. Asking questions in the middle of your sorrow and your sadness do not represent a lack of faith, but they present an opportunity for growth. So you might want to ask questions. Secondly, the way to process grief and sorrow is by weeping. In the story of Lazarus, he has another sister, Mary, and she is completely different to Martha in how she processes her sorrow and her sadness and how she laments. She weeps. She didn't go out looking for Jesus, but she weeps. And she gets to him. And he doesn't dismiss that. When he meets her, he doesn't dismiss that as an insignificant response to sorrow. Listen to how he responds to her weeping. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And then we're told, Jesus wept. Jesus wept with her, so deeply moved by her grief, so deeply moved by her tears, he wept with her. Now surely Jesus knew what he was about to do. He knew he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet he meets her in her moment of sorrow and he weeps. The God of the universe, the all-powerful, almighty, weeps. If you have ever wondered if your tears and that kind of raw emotion is undignified and unbiblical, I hope this story puts some perspective on that for you. In the Psalms, David goes through a particularly difficult time and he writes this. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. The wilderness is the place to weep, to let it out, and to know that God cares about every tear that you cry. That weeping, that visible emotion, is a valid way for us to lament. It's a valid way, a biblical way, for us to process how we feel. So we may ask big questions, we may weep, but we may also want to lament in community. I want to take you back to that dark night of the soul that Jesus experienced. We read it earlier when he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." In that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus poured out his soul that was overwhelmed with sorrow, he does something incredible. For most of us, when we experience sadness and sorrow, what we do is choose to withdraw. And sometimes it's because we don't want to make a scene or we don't want to burden others. Sometimes it's because our pain doesn't quite match up to the church's happy theology. Sometimes we can't work out how our suffering and our sorrow can be dealt with in the context of community. Won't that just shatter everyone's faith? Can we do that? Can we talk about our sorrow and our sadness and our unanswered prayers? I love what Pete Gregg writes about this. He says, "Christians are quick to spread glory stories, but disappointments tend to be brushed under the carpet. because we don't want to discourage anyone at church or to be a bad commercial at work. But God isn't like us. He doesn't get insecure about his performance, and he never asks us to cover up for him. And that's a real challenge about how we deal with unanswered prayer, how we deal with sorrow and sadness and grief in the context of community. Because what Jesus does after he says that word, those words, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow," this is how he processes it. He does it in community. He invites others to be with him. And so he says to his disciples, right after he says that about sorrow, he says, "Stay here and keep watch with me." Now, let's be real about this. He's not inviting them to be right beside him holding his hand. They're not in his face and they're not patting his back. But he asks them to stick around and to pray with him. The place for us to do that today, to ask people to stick around and to keep watch with us, to pray with us, is the church. Home groups are a brilliant way of doing that, of finding a small community who will have your back in the trials that you face in life. A community who will pray with you, who will keep watch with you through sorrows and through sadness. We also have a really faithful prayer ministry team. And we want to offer to you this morning the opportunity for them to pray with you. If you are facing a dark night of the soul, if you're experiencing a sorrowful journey at the moment, we're going to offer you prayer ministry after this service today. It's going to be on Zoom. We'll put the meeting details up at the end of the service, the ID and the password. But join us after this service if you would value the prayer ministry team just keeping watch with you and praying with you. Please do avail of that opportunity to have someone pray with you in a difficult time in your life. Keep watching to the end of the service and you'll get the meeting details for that Zoom after. So those are the ways that we might lament, through questions, through weeping, in community. But where is God when we lament? Pete Gregg says this: "Life sometimes hurts like hell, but I've discovered that deleting God from the equation doesn't actually help. It merely removes all meaning and morality from the mess and all real hope from the future." We need to make sure God is in the midst of our sorrow. However we process it, whether in questions, in weeping, in community, we need God to be in the midst of it. We need to ask God to be near us when we feel sorrow and sadness. Not necessarily to ask him to fix the mess, but to bring meaning to the mess, to bring hope to the pain. God is always near his people. It may appear that he's silent at times, but he is near. In the passage that David read for us a while ago from Exodus, God spells out very clearly where he is when his people are suffering. He tells Moses, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." God cares intensely about the suffering and the sorrow of his people. He cares intensely about what you're going through at the moment. And even if it feels like silence, he is present. And sometimes we need to ask him to be present with us. We need to ask him to make us aware of his presence. I'm going to invite you all to pray with me now. Those of you, particularly those of you who are going through a dark night of the soul, who feel sorrow and sadness, even if you have nothing else to pray, I'm going to invite you to pray these words this morning. "Lord, abide with me. Be with me." In the words of that hymn, "When other helpers and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." Let that be our prayer this morning. We are going to sing that and make it our prayer this morning. Let's just take a moment to close our eyes and to become aware of God with us in our pain, and in our sorrow, as we pray, Lord, abide with me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're a God who does not give up on your people when they are in pain. Lord, that even when it sounds like silence, that you're there, that you care deeply about us. You care deeply when we feel overwhelmed with sorrow. And Lord, I pray for us as a community that we would learn to lament well, that we would learn to ask the big questions, that we would learn to weep, and that we would learn to bring our sorrow to the community and to ask people to be with us. And Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us now as we consider the pain that we may be in, the sorrow and sadness that we feel at times. Lord, the cry of our hearts is this: Lord, abide with me. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.